We're continuing with the sermon series, studying our membership vows. To continue with that, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. We'll start the reading with verse 11. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Pray with me. Our great and powerful God, as we now carefully approach your word, it is, as you have said, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. God, cause us to bear our hearts to your word for surgery, Father, for correction, for training in righteousness. And our God, do a great work on us. Do not allow us simply to be here to check some box off, Father, or be here to be entertained and to walk out of this place the same way that we came in, as if we just sat and watched some television program. But God, cause us to approach you as the living God, who desires to change us and work in us and move us. And God, cause us to be so moved that we will indeed learn to love one another and to encourage one another in your work, for you, and for your name's sake. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, a woman walked towards the restroom at Walmart, and as she came around the corner, to her surprise, she found a small child standing there, crying and weeping. She had been undressed and she had a onesie on and had been pulled down to her ankles, and she stood there trembling in the cold and crying. And a mother stood by in anger and walked away neglecting this child. And all anyone heard for an extended period of time was the weeping of this 3-year-old little girl standing there exposed and neglected. As we hear this, our hearts should break. We should be offended by the neglect, and our hearts should go out to such a child. As we consider a child needing such attention, as we consider a child needing such love, I imagine part of it resonates with you because you have felt in your life, you have felt cold. You have felt alone. You have felt neglected. You have felt uncared for. As we looked at these passages, we see that it is to be the work of the church to care for one another, to care for one another's needs, to love one another. And yet, as we look around and as we would consider our own actions within the church, do we find ourselves guilty of neglecting the church? Do we find ourselves guilty of neglecting one another? As we consider our membership vows, one of the things that you have promised, if you are indeed a member of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, we ask, do you recognize your responsibility to work with others in the church? And do you promise to support and encourage them in their service to the Lord? I'm asking you to make good on your vow. I'm asking you to look at the Scriptures and see exactly what God has called you to. And that is for you to give yourself to the support and to the encouragement of the church. First, as we look at this, look with me again at 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "For we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death." So I'm calling upon you now to give yourself to the love of the church, to give your heart to concern for the church. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." This idea that the church is the body of Christ, that as you look around, you are seeing the physical manifestation of Christ in the world. And that as you love one another, you're actually loving Christ. Now, it also, the Scripture also talks about it in this way. In Ephesians 1:22 and bridging into 23, "To the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Isn't that something? As you consider that, as I love you, I am loving the body of Christ. As I love you, I am loving Christ. As you pick any member of the congregation, as you love them, and that is supporting each other, encouraging one another, supplying needs for one another, you are actually loving Christ. The one who loved you and gave His life up for you, you are showing Him that love. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33, we hear that in weddings all the time, and I love to use that in weddings. We see that it's comparing Christ loving the church to a good husband loving his wife. A husband that would lay his wife's life down for his wife to support and to encourage her. A picture that we would all hope to see. A picture that we all long to see. A husband who loves his wife in that way. We think of the church as the bride of Christ. Now, I would have you consider, how are you loving Christ's bride? How is that? Is that being played out in your life? How is that being acted out in your life? How is that being demonstrated in your life? Imagine your spouse, or if you don't have a spouse, imagine that you did have a spouse, and I told you, "Hey, in Christ, I love you. I love you as a brother or sister in Christ." And then one day your spouse was stranded out on the highway. They had gotten a flat tire, they got out of their car, and they locked their cell phone and their keys in the car. It's pouring down rain and sleet, and they're freezing, and you simply blow by. Or I simply blow by and leave your spouse there and say, "Hey, wow, I love you, man. I love you as a brother or sister in Christ, and yet I have abandoned your spouse. Left them to freeze, left them out in the cold. Do I love you? Do I love you if I would do that to your spouse?" The question is, do you love Christ? If so, is it being demonstrated by the way that you love His spouse? John 13:34-35, Christ speaking, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So watch for the needs in the church. Watch for the needs in the church. Seek out the needs in the church. And strive to fulfill this great command. To love the brethren, and in that you are demonstrating your love for Christ. Now this will be more than just meeting physical needs and supplying physical support. This also goes into emotional needs, emotional support. But this is also going to be demonstrated in speaking the truth to one another. Look with me again at verse 11, 1 John chapter 3. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now Romans 12:9 says something that has always been very striking for me. Let love be without hypocrisy. And we would all say hypocrisy is saying one thing but demonstrating something else. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor, that is, hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. You see, in order to love one another, in order for you actually to love one another and fulfill this great command, you have to hate the sin in each other's lives. You must be the enemy of any sin in my life in order for you actually to love me. I must be the enemy of any sin within your life for me actually to love you. You must be the enemy of every sin within each other's lives in order for you to actually love one another. Or you are loving in hypocrisy. Or you are a hypocrite. Can you say that you love your child and ignore the cobra in their pocket? You see, sin is nothing less, and indeed, sin is something greater. Sin isn't simply physical death, but sin is the thing that undoes and destroys and hurts. It ruins and hurts families. It causes us to walk in shadow. It causes us to walk in darkness. So we must hate. Hate the sin in one another's lives. So commit yourself to God's truths in your relationships. Now, this is a hard thing, and this will continuously be a hard thing, because this will cause you to have to deal with people's unregenerate parts. This will cause you to have to deal with people's scary parts. And we all have them. We all have them. I have known people that are sweet and lovely and beautiful. Until you approach them with some sin, to deal with some sin or some crime. And then the world falls down. I think of my own grandmother, who has gone to glory. She could not give up her cigarettes. And as a child, I hated her cigarettes so badly. And I desperately wanted her to stop. And I always admonished her to stop. And one day I got the idea, I'll just take Grandma's cigarettes. And then she will stop smoking. The sweetest woman that she ever knew until this point. I took her cigarettes and I went to her bed and I slid them back under her bed. And her bed was only that high. And Grandma had a nicotine fit. And I saw this woman that had been beautiful and had been lovely turn into this monster. Give me my cigarettes was all she cared about at that point. Sweet Grandma, Grandma that made the cookies, was all gone. There was the monster who simply wanted what she wanted. And you'll face that. You'll face that when you confront people's sins. But how can you be loving any other way? How can you be loving any other way other than to deal with people's sins? In Hebrews 3:13 it says, but encourage one another day after day, this gives me the impression that we've got to keep doing it. We got to keep doing it. You hear the language, day after day. And you might have someone saying, day after day after day, I deal with this. And it will be that way with sin. But encourage one another, day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. Your sin is deceitful. The people, your brothers and sisters that you will strive to love in truth, their sin is deceitful. And they will work and they will work and they will work to justify their sin. They will work and they will work and they will work to excuse their sin. But you are to work and to work and to work with them day after day, as long as it is called today. This is loving one another. This is supporting one another. This is encouraging one another in their service to the Lord. And this is who we're supposed to be. I want you to check now. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? Have you been doing this? Has this been happening to you? This is to be the reality. This is true love. This is true love worked out. This is true love displayed in action. If not, if this isn't the reality of your life, you haven't seen love. You haven't seen love. You haven't been being loved. You haven't been loving one another. And this is the mark of the church. This is how the world is to see and to know that God has sent His Son. You see, Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. You see, we are commanded to encourage one another's consciences to keep each other from being hardened by sin. Have you seen someone who walked in sin a really long time? And they're just hardened to it. Their hearts become calloused to it. And the reason that we need one another in this is because we all have blind spots. All of you who drive have the idea, and you understand you're driving down the road and you can check this mirror and you see that it's clear. And you can check this mirror and you can see that it's clear. But then you start to turn and you hear that horn honk. And you know, something's been in my blind spot. Your sin is like that. Everyone's sin is like that. We have these blind spots and we must rely on one another. We must rely on one another. We must be humble towards one another as well as we are being supported and encouraged. So respectfully challenge people. Now, as this is hard and this is ugly, but that's a picture of love, this has a positive side as well. Look with me again at verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. I'm going to call upon you now to bring what builds people up. I have been in so many situations and circumstances where all people do in the setting is tear each other down. I imagine you've seen it. It's like a sport. It's like a hobby. And sadly, we have many families who pick one person out. And they're the person to tear down. They're the person to cut up. But Romans 14:19 then says, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. And here's a serious command, and I have found this so helpful. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Here's an assignment for you. Memorize Ephesians 4:29. Memorize Ephesians 4:29. And this isn't just something that you can say and quote to yourself in your heart. Imagine it this way. In any setting when you're dealing with Christians, someone cuts somebody else and you can look to them. And I could look at Teresa and say, Teresa, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for encouragement, according to the need of the moment, so that those who hear will be built up in grace. A word that should be on each of us. A word that we should be using for one another continuously, so that we will be that people. So that we will be those people who speak that good word of encouragement, according to the need of the moment, so that those who hear will be built up in grace. Now, this word is not always simply a positive word, but we also need encourage to throw off our sin. That is also good for the need of the moment. To edify one another. Sorry, that word, edify. One time when I was a kid, I was riding with this man and he was giving directions and he said to someone, pull over there next to the edifice. And I had no idea what he was talking about. To edify, to build up. Kids, you're supposed to say things that build other people up. That encourages them, that supports them. It's not the same as puffing people up. It's not the same as making them prideful. But building them up in grace. Building them up in truth. Building them up in the Word of God. Can you imagine such a setting? Can you imagine such a setting? If in our fellowship time afterwards, you know, we're going to hang out, we're going to have our snacks, we're going to drink our coffee. If our conversations were all wholesome things proceeding from our mouths to give encouragement according to the need of a moment so that each of us were built up in grace. Wouldn't just talk about our week. Not just talk about the week to come. Not about the TV shows. Not about any of that stuff. What if our time was for each other's encouragement? What if our time was really about encouraging one another and supporting one another in our work for the Lord? May it be so. So look for opportunity to encourage people in good works. Now, this love is displayed in words, as we've been talking about, but it's not just in words. Look with me at verses 16 through 18 of 1 John chapter 3. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. So love calls for action. Love calls for action. If it's simply a word, it doesn't mean anything. Words are important, but if they're alone, what are they? Simply displaying our hypocrisy. But we're to love in deed and in truth. Our love for each other should look like something that changes our lives and changes the way that we live and work. Our love should be reaching out to others and supplying one another's needs. I'll ask you, as we are considering how we are to love one another, I'd ask you to raise your hand, but I'm not going to. I'll ask you who sometimes feels lonely. Who sometimes feels small. Who sometimes feels weak. And what would you have others do for you in those moments? I want you to know that the people around you feel the same way. The people around you need you to reach out with words of encouragement, with deeds and actions of love. This is what the church is supposed to be. A group of people who love one another in deed and in truth. Now, next, I want you to use love as a sign of being in Christ. Again, 1 John 3:14. For we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Do you hear that? If this isn't the reality of your life, you need to consider why. If this love isn't your life, the word here is saying it means you abide in death. It means that you abide in death. It's saying either you're a heathen or you're living like one. Either you're a hypocrite or you're living like one. This is to be the reality of your life. This is to be who you are. So make love your sign. Make love your display. As the woman saw the child trembling in Walmart, naked, exposed, trembling then, standing there, crying by herself, and something else happened. Around the corner, the father stepped into the opening and he stooped down and he picked up this child and he held her close and she rested her head on his shoulder and the crying stopped and he carried her off. This is what was done for each of us who are in Christ. We were in the mud, in the mire. We cried out to God and He stooped down and He heard your cry. He lifted you up, rescuing you from the cold and the sorrow and the slime. And He set your feet on a rock. Now, as Christ has loved you, He says, go love like this. Go love one another. Look for the lost. Look for the hurt. Look for the crying. Look for the lonely. Look for the trembling in your own midst. And go and love. Go and support. Go and encourage one another. Make good your vow that you have promised before the Lord. And support and encourage one another in their work in the Lord. Pray with me. Our Father, first we thank you for the love that you have shown us. We would still be trembling and naked and crying and alone. But you have loved us. Despite whatever pain we face now, you hold us. And we thank you and praise you for your love and for your comfort. And from this place, God, from this place, make us truly love. From this place, God, make us truly encourage one another and support one another. Where we are hypocrites, display our hypocrisy. God, and bring us to repentance. for you and for your namesake, that the world will know that you have sent your Son. It is in Jesus' name we pray.